Okay, let's begin. This week is Parashas Matos Masei, double header. Okay, someone pointed out to me that it's going to be a very, very long time until the next time we lay in two parashios together. Because next year is an Ibiyar, and Ibiyar, there are no
next
doubles.
Year we're going to do
any doubles, no doubles. Even Matos Masei next year is separate, so it's going to be a very long time until we lay in at all a double parasha. So relish the opportunity, the experience of laying two parashas in one shot tomorrow. It's not going to happen for a very, very long time. We should all be good and healthy and full of simcha at that time. Amir Hashem. Now, it's also chazak v'nis chazek. And it's also the Shabbos that is the first Shabbos of the 9 days. A lot of things are going on. Let's first start with the fact that today is Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av is the fifth month of the year. Rosh Chodesh Av, the Petira of Aaron HaKohen. There are not too many yard sites that are mentioned in the Torah itself. Even what? Okay, the Flapish Jewish Journal may have it, but the Torah doesn't have it. Okay, the Torah does not have too many. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't have a date in the Torah. We have a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Zayin Adar. Even that's not so simple, you should know. They're Chiluki Deis. When exactly Moshe Rabbeinu died, we accept that Zayin Adar, not so simple. But one thing is for certain, the Pasuk says explicitly that on the first day of the fifth month, Aaron HaKohen died Al Har HaHar. Do we even know where it is? Someone in Jordan, they claim they know where it is.
I don't think people go there.
They really know where it is for sure? Petra? For sure?
There's like a mosque on top.
Is it mosque? Okay. They claim the vicinity. I don't think anything we really can know for sure today. It's not really, I don't think it's a Jewish tradition. They tell us that the Jordanians, they claim that just because they claim they know where it is does not mean with absolute certainty that's the location of.
They used to go even before. During the mandate period.
Okay, could be. But even then, it's not a right, because also there's a contradiction in the Torah. Where is Hor HaHor? Some learn that there are two Hor HaHors. Some of the Rishonim.
It says, Horei Hu Avorim. So it's plural. What do you mean?
Okay, it's not so simple. All right, whatever it is, today is the Yaretz Arayin. Now let's just discuss a few short things. First of all, let's discuss Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, we have a special carbon musaf. It says in the Torah, the way the Torah describes the carbon chatas for Rosh Chodesh Adar is different than the way it describes the carbon chatas for all the chatas of the musaf of all of the other moadim. All of the moadim of the year, when the Torah describes the chatas, it says chatas a soir lichatas, a soir, a he goat is offered as a sin offering for Klal Yisrael. On every one of the moadim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Shol Shugolim, Shabbos, as well. However, when it comes to Rosh Chodesh, for some reason, the Torah has a different expression. A so'ir la-Hashem. Instead of it saying so'ir la-Chatas, it says so'ir la-Hashem. And Chazal asks, why the change of expression? And one of the very Kabbalistic answers, which we really don't, the Gemara says, we don't understand what this means. Hashem says, the so'ir is not just for you. Again, what I'm telling you over here is there's no explanation for this because we know a pasuk atzur tomim pe'olo ki chol durachav mishpat. Hashem is perfect. There is no defect chas v'shalom in the ribono shel olam. Yet it says Hashem says on this day bring a soir for me, bring for me because I have done something which appears from your perspective to be incorrect. Okay, whatever that means. I was mima'et v'levana. When the world was created, it says beferish in the beginning of the Torah, Hashem made the shnei hamo'oros hagedolim, two large luminaries, the sun and the moon. What that means, we do not know. Did the moon have its own source of light? We do not know. But the moon complained to Hashem, Ribbono shel olam, how could there be two great luminaries? Ein shnei melachim mishamshim b'keserech. You cannot have two kings that have this one with one crown. So Hashem said, you're right. L'chi u'ma'ati atzmech. You diminish yourself. You shall be, you shrink, whatever this means. Either it means Hashem took away from the moon its own source of light, or it means that the moon was much larger and had to be diminished. We don't know exactly what this means, but now we have the Ma'or HaGadol and the Ma'or HaKoton. The Ma'or HaGadol is the sun, and the Ma'or HaKoton is the moon. The moon was insulted. Just because I presented a good argument, I'm the one who has to suffer. Leave me the way I am. Let the sun get bigger. Or let me get bigger. There are other solutions. Why does it have to be that I have to diminish myself? So Hashem's tried to be mefayes the moon. Hashem says, Hashem created the stars. Chazal say the only reason why they are kechavim is only as a pius. These are servants of the moon. The moon was not satisfied. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried his best. Yeah?
How was it?
I don't know. Before you ask the question, I don't know the answer.
No. How are the stars? Are the stars the fires of the moon because they also produce more light?
I have no idea. No clue. These are way, way above me. In any event, Hashem said, "You know what? I'll give you the ultimate peace. The ultimate peace. The Klal Yisrael will calculate their year based upon your orbit." You will be the source of the Jewish calendar, the moon, the Ummah Yisrael. They calculate the year based upon the sun, and Klal Yisrael will calculate the year based upon the moon. Okay, so every Rosh Chodesh, why do we celebrate Rosh Chodesh? The Ummah Yisrael do not celebrate Rosh Chodesh because the Ummah Yisrael they celebrate, their calendar is based upon is a solar calendar. We focus on the moon. Thus, every time the moon is renewed, every time there is a Chiddush HaLevana, we celebrate Rosh Chodesh because Klal Yisrael, this is our calendar. This Rosh Chodesh from all of the Rosh Chodashim is unique, is very special, is because it is this Chodesh where not only is Rosh Chodesh, we bring the Sorah LaHashem, Hashem was Memayeh, the Levana, then we who are represented by the Levana, we connect ourselves to Levana, we were also diminished in this month. Chodesh Av is the month of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the month of the Golus HaShechina, the month of Klal Yisrael goes into exile, the persecution, all of the problems that we suffer in this world are rooted in the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The fifth month of the year is the month when Klal Yisrael has been diminished. Kaviyach. And it's Rosh Chodesh. The Levana also has been diminished. The reason why we bring a saw here is Sarah LaHashem, to allude to the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu acknowledges that he was Memayit, the Levana. And by being Memayit, the Levana, however this works, that has impact upon us. Being that we are the nation that uses the Levana as a means to serve Hashem. The simplest idea is that we are just a reflection of Hashem's light. The Levana has no light of its own. The Levana reflects the light of the sun. So too, we live not for ourselves. We live to reflect the light of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We connect with the Levana. If the Levana has been diminished, we have been diminished. The whole year, we don't pay much attention to this. But Chodesh Av is where it comes. It's expressed in a much greater way because this is the month of our sadness of the Churban. And if the Levana has been diminished and we bring a carbon, the two coming together are much, much more meaningful and much, much more powerful. Thus, today, on this Rosh Chodesh Av, it's a more potent Rosh Chodesh than your average Rosh Chodesh. It's more meaningful, it's more serious because of the events of what this month represents for Klal Yisrael. Okay, now the next thing is, it's the Petir of Aaron HaKoyen. Aaron HaKoyen's Petir was not by coincidence on the first day of Rosh Chodesh. What is the first thing we know about the first time the Torah introduces us to Aaron HaKoyen? He really appears out of nowhere. It's very interesting. When Moshe was born, we know all the Midrashim about Amram and Yocheved. There was Aaron and Miriam, and Amram divorced his wife because Kol Habein Hayiloid Hayoyret Hashtichu. And then Miriam told her father, your Gezer is worse than Paro. Paro was only Gezer al-Zacharim, your Gezer al-Zacharim al-Mekeles. So you're right, he took back his wife. And then we all know the Medrash, Aaron and Miriam made a party, and they were singing and dancing, they were clapping. So we think we know about Aaron from the very, very beginning. But the truth is, Aaron is nowhere to be mentioned anywhere in the Torah. He first comes, he's first introduced when Hashem is negotiating, persuading Moshe Rabbeinu to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And we go through many layers of negotiations, till finally Moshe agrees, then he reneges, and then Hashem says, you're not a medaber? Don't worry. Haloi, Aroi nochicha. He will be the medaber. And when he'll see v'ro'acha, v'somach b'liboy. When he will see you, he will have great... Don't think, Moshe, that he's going to be jealous because he's older and he's not the manik. I have selected you to be the manik. Aroi v'ro'acha, v'somach b'liboy. This is the introduction the Torah gives to Aaron HaKohen. We have a klal. The first time the Torah tells you something, this is the essence of that matter. The first time a word appears in Chamishei Chumshei Torah, that's it. This is the makar. Analyze the context and extract from the context the essence of this matter. If the first pasuk the Torah tells about Aaron is this midah of Aaron, v'ro'acha v'somach b'liboy, this is Aaron. We always think about Aaron. What was his midah? Oyev shalom v'roidev shalom. Ein achanami. But that's not the ikar midah of Aaron. The ikar midah of Aaron is, I guess what they say in Yiddish, there is no English translation, to fargin. Fargin yemen. No English way to translate those words. You're happy for someone else. You're happy. It's an amazing midah, to fargin yemen. You have a simcha in your family? I'm happy for you. You have a good job? I'm happy. You have good children? I'm happy. You're healthy? I'm happy. This is what the Torah says, the first thing the Torah says about Aaron in the Torah. V'ro'acha, he'll see you, he'll see your gedula, your greatness, v'somach b'libo. That's the first thing. That is Aaron. The model, the paradigm of to fargin and yenem.
Absence of jealousy.
What? It's more than that. It's much, much more. There's no translation. We had a whole shiur today. There are certain things you cannot translate, right? You cannot translate in words. You have to have a whole paragraph. And even with the whole paragraph, you're probably missing half the points. In every language is like that. There's an element of being happy for someone. Being happy for someone. This is Aaron. What is the Churban Beis Hamikdash all about? Chodesh Av, Chodesh HaChamishi, Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is the exact opposite of V'ro'acha, he'll see what you have, V'somach B'liboy. And I'll have Simcha in the heart. The diametric opposite of the need of Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is baseless hatred. I hate you. For what? For nothing. If you have a good reason, then okay, I have a reason to hate you.
I have reason to hate you. That's
not it's not chinam. It's not chinam. It's the complete opposite. It's mamish mikotze la kotze. It's not by coincidence the petira of Aaron takes place on Aleph Av. Chodesh Av is the Chodesh Hachat. The Torah, the Navi says, Chodesh HaChamishi, the fifth month, is the month of the Churban Beis Hamikdash Sinas Chinam. It begins with the petira of why it happened. It's because we don't have people like Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen cannot coexist with Chodesh Av. Klal Yisrael is not on the level of Rachmana Litzlan is in a matzif of Sinas Chinam. We don't deserve an Aaron HaKohen. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu takes tzaddikim from this world. Why? Because we don't deserve them. Hashem only gives them to us as a matana. We learned yesterday, Rashi. Rashi's yahrzeit was yesterday. What is Rashi? What did Rashi want to call? What did he want his sefer to be called? He wanted his sefer to be called Shaiv. Shaiv. My name is Shaiv Shlomo Yitzchaki. He didn't want the Reish. He didn't want to be called the Reish. Rebbe, Shlomo Yitzchaki. And what does Shaiv Taka mean? A gift. He was a gift. He was a gift to this world. What would we be today without Rashi? Shai Lama. The word Shai in Hebrew, in Tanakh, means a gift. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave this world the gift, a gift. A neshama which raised us spiritually in levels that we can't even begin to imagine. So we appended to the Shai, the Resh, Rashi. But Rashi held himself as shy. And we look at him, that's Taka, right? You are a shy. It's exactly what you are. Shlomo Yitzchaki is shy. Do we deserve the gift? So sometimes we get handouts. We get gifts that we do not deserve. And sometimes Hashem says, you know, I gave you a gift that you didn't deserve. Let me take it back. Let me take it back until you appreciate what I've given you. We did not deserve Aaron HaKohen. Because unfortunately, in this month, Chodesh Av, we have brought about the Churban Beis HaMikdash through Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is a complete, total contradiction to the nature, the personality of Aaron HaKohen. V'racha v'samach b'libay. We didn't deserve him. We didn't deserve him. We have no one to blame for his death other than us. It's all rooted in the Avos, the days of the calendar. It's not a coincidence that he died on Rosh Chodesh Av, the first day. Torah tells this to us. Torah doesn't tell us when Moshe died. Doesn't tell us when all the other tzaddikim, when Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov died. Doesn't tell us when they died. There's almost no one. Very few people who the Torah reveals. The Torah revealed about a tzaddik when he died. There's a message. The message is, it's Chodesh Av. Sinas Chinam, you don't deserve it. You don't deserve to have such a gift. You want to have such a person in your midst. Aaron HaKohen, you have to earn it. You have to earn it by cutting out the nonsense of Sinas Chinam. Okay, let's go to another idea. Chodesh Av is also, it's not a coincidence that it's called a father, Av. A father has a connotation of a Chodesh of Rach, father of Av HaRachamin, compassion. Interesting, I saw this week, in a very nice short little vart. I don't remember where I saw it from. Maybe I saw it from Bernard Weinberger, Zichron Levracha. I think he says that at the end of the parasha, B'nai Slavchad, Akadosh Baruch Hu tells B'nai Slavchad who to marry. It says they should marry their cousins. Livnei Dodoehem Yihiyu Lenoshim. It's very rare in Shidduchim. Wouldn't you like to know who your Basheret is? Maybe you don't. But doesn't it say it's very only one that we know in history that knew who they were supposed to marry was Adam. Adam and Chava. It was no one else. You should know, by the way, it wasn't so simple. It says, Beferish in the Medrash, that Adam tried to marry basically every creature on this earth. It says he married every animal, every single thing he tried to marry. I guess he saw Chava right away, and he said, nope. It's like the classic Shidduchim. The most obvious Shidduch is staring right in your face. Right? Isn't that the way it always is? It's staring right in your face, and you have to go out and travel around the world until you come back to that realization. Where does that come from? It comes from Adam HaRishon. Adam, here, everybody said, please, please. It comes from Adam HaRishon. He was presented with Chava. I didn't want to marry her. He tried out everything. Trees, frogs, giraffes, okay, the tall, the short, the big, the narrow, everyone, all different types. The Hasidish ones, the Litvish ones, the Satna ones, right? The Lubavitcher ones. He tried them all out until finally, you know, maybe she's not so bad. Maybe Chava's not so bad. And he married her. That's what it says in the Medrash. I'm not making this up. That's what it says in the Medrash. Guess what? The only other person that was zeicha to be told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu who they should marry was B'nai Slavchad. That's what it says. It says over here, the end of the parasha, the end of the Maaseh, it says, Livnei do dehem yihiyu l'noshim. They were not married. They were older girls. And Hashem says, you know who they should marry? They should marry their cousins. The children of their uncles. Livnei, there's no word in Hebrew for a cousin. There is no Hebrew equivalent. Livnei do dehen yihiyu l'noshim. They shall be as wives. Wow. And the Mefarshim, they explain, there's a lot of Torah on this. Hashem didn't tell they have to. I think Rashi says there, Hashem is a shatran. I'm giving you good advice. These are good shidduchim for you. Take these boys seriously. They may not be the best. Who knows who they were? But they're okay for you. For you, the B'nai Slavcha, the five girls. Is that amazing? What? Isn't that amazing? Where do you have, it's the biggest mystery in this world, the biggest mystery in this world, who is your Bashet? I mean, that's, we all know this. It's like what occupies people's minds day and night. Hey, parents, grandparents for themselves, and then parents, grandparents, and the Chol HaNilvim Olav, to match up people. Wouldn't it be easy if people were born with name tags? Name tags and serial numbers? Okay, and we can just, you know, go into a computer and figure out, and that's it. Zehu. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. And it's a very big challenge. And look what's going on here. This is unprecedented. It never happened before and will never happen again. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells B'nai Slavchan, Livnei, Do Dehen, Yiyu, L'Nashim. How many cousins do they already have? How many could they have? There are five girls. How many cousins? I don't know how many cousins, but it wasn't very many. Can't be very many from the whole Klal Yisrael. So you're limiting the pool of who they're going to marry. Hashem is telling them, giving them exactly.
Could have been 100 cousins.
So even 100 cousins. So you're limiting from 600,000 to 100. In a daimer, you know, and Hashem is telling you who the Basharit is. Halay davar. So I saw one of the farshim says, "What's pshat? What's taka the pshat? It's mamash a pillar." A pile ploim, what the pasuk here says. The answer is they were Yisaimim. They had no father. They had no father. Who ideally is the one that goes out? Today it's all the women. Today this is the Olam Hafach. Today it's only women. The only ones that are involved in Shidduchim today are only women. But it's an Olam Hafach. It used to be, and the way it really should be is it's the father. The father, he takes a boy for his daughter. The father goes out and finds a good boy. This is who you're going to marry. Or if not the father, the brother. Lavan. Look at Lavan. Lavan was Lavan took over. Besuel was the balabas for Rivka. Besuel died. Who took over? Lavan. Kachi darkoi shel oilam. A girl gets married based upon the advice, the input, the effort of her father or her brother. These girls had no brothers. That's why they're coming for Nachala. If they had a brother, they wouldn't get the makom sheyesh bein ein lebas klum. Right? How many lawsuits have that resulted in? But there's no. That's why they're coming to Moshe. We also want a Nachala. Just because we have no brother. There are no brothers, so we should do that. So let also get something. So there's no brother, and their father died. Avinu meisla midbar. So Hashem says, "This is an incredible yisoid." Hashem says. A Yosayim, Yosayimim, no father, no brother, no for no one. I am the Avi HaYosayimim. And how do I show I am the Avi HaYosayimim? Shidduchim. What's the most important thing a girl needs? A Yosayim, someone should marry them off. Who's going to find them a Shidduch? Who could care less about them? Who's going to go look for a Shidduch for these girls? There's no father, there's no brother. So Hashem says, I am the Avi HaYosayimim. I am going to break every rule in the Torah to fulfill, to find them a Shidduch. Since when does HaKadosh Baruch Hu come and tell you a name tag who your Basharit is? Here Hashem says, I'm going to make the Shidduch. I'm the Shatchin. Livnei doideihen yiyu l'nashim. But this goes against every rule in Hashkafa and Kabbalah and Halacha that you can possibly imagine and that we know about the way Hashem conducts His world. Hashem says, you can throw it out the window, that's right. We'll break every single rule in all the laws of Hashkafa, Kabbalah, Swam that you know. Take all the Ramchals, you can put them away for today. I'm breaking the rules because I am the Avi HaYisayim. Halfway of Allah. It's an incredible chiddush, incredible insight into this pasuk and into the idea of Hashem is the Avi HaYisayim. My own, this, I think, I believe I saw this idea in Shemin, one of the volumes, one of the five or six volumes of the Shemin HaTov by Rabbi Bernard Weinberger. He used to be the Rav of the Young Israel of Williamsburg. He was a Rav of Brooklyn. He was nifted very recently. He was nifted only a few months ago. I believe that's where I saw it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm confused. But I think that's where I saw it. 2 months ago. Now, I just want to take that idea. All I want to just say is one very simple thing. We always lay, and everybody said, please, it's getting a little bit out of hand here. We always lay in Parashas Matos Maseh, or at least Parashas Maseh, where this Yisod is taught to us. Always, believe Yotze Min HaKlal. Even when there are two, we break it up. Maseh is always laying in the first week of Chodesh Av. And it's not a coincidence, because the month is called Av. Av is, even though in this month there is a churban, there is tsar, there is golus, there is a lot of trouble in this month, that the repercussions go on forever until Mashiach comes, but yet Hashem is still there. Imoy anoichi b'tzara. You may be yisoymim golus, but I am still the Av HaRachamim. And I will take care of you, and I will break all the rules. Just like Hashem broke all the rules in order to direct who their shidduch is, levnei doydehen liyu l'nashim, you should know there's a churban, there's galus, it's chodesh av. Ribbono shelolam is here, he will get you through this. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Another idea, let's learn a little parasha. Okay, a little parasha, the parasha begins, Matos. Matos, you have to appreciate that these two parashas, Matos Masei, to a very large degree, is the end of the Torah. Okay, in davening, in the Ani Mamins, let's bring it out this way. This is a very powerful idea. I mean, it's not my Yisoid. This is the Yisoid from Farshim. Can't tell you who, because I can't remember too many things, but we have two Ani Mamins. We have Ani Mamins. We have among the 13 Ani Mamins, one of them is Ani Mam, Emuna Shalema, Shekol Divrei Nevi'im Emes. All the words of the prophets are emes. We learn, right? Everything we learn in Nevi'im, emes. Next animal. Animal b'mun shleimah shenevuas Moshe Rabbeinu olav hasholaim. Chois doesn't say vay, doesn't say zatzal. For avagoyin, it says olav, like an ordinary person. Moshe Rabbeinu olav hasholaim. Chois amitis v'shehu hoya av la Nevi'im la koydimim lefanav v'laboim acharav. Question. You're only going to have 13 principles. Don't you think you can group together Moshe Rabbeinu with all of the Nevi'im? Nevuah is Nevuah. So Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is level 10. And the other Nevi'im are level 8, 7, 6, whatever you want to say. Nevuah is Nevuah. Moshe is the best. He's the Av HaRachamim. You have to have two Ani Mamins. What's going on over here? So the answer is, no, you don't understand. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu is 10 and they're an 8 or a 7. Moshe is in a class by himself. Don't even think of comparing any Navi to Moshe Rabbeinu. He is in a world by himself. His Nevuah is off the charts. It's not. You need different vocabulary to describe Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't compare. That's what we have here in the Ani Mamins. Now take that a step further. Farshim tell us that rule that I just told you, that Moshe Rabbeinu is in a world by himself, is only true until the end of Bamidbar. Chumash Bamidbar. Until the last pasuk in Matos. Last pasuk in Matos is Eile Hadvarim. What does it say, the last pasuk? Chazak, chazak. We have the last Masay, the very end of Masay. That's where it ends. Eile Hamitzvois v'hamishpotim asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshe. Hashem gave over to the world b'yad Moshe. El b'nei Yisrael b'arvos moyav al yardin yirechol. That's it. This is where the Ani Mamin, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Av HaNevi'im, comes to an end. In Chumash Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is part of the team. He's no different than all of the other Nevi'im. All the words of Chumash Devarim Chazal tell us is where Moshe Rabbeinu, on his own, he is on his own expressing ideas. Of course, it's Nevuah. It's also been influenced by the Ribbono Shel Olam. But it's the same type of Nevuah that we are familiar with when you learn Yoel, when you learn Yecheskel, you learn Yirmiyah, when you learn all of the various Nevi'im. There, the Navi is using his own brain, his own facilities, and he's connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's expressing ideas. Some of them are better, some of them are awake, some of them are sleeping, some are like this, some are like that. But it's Nevuah is Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu, until the end of Bamidbar, was in a different league. He was purely the instrument of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The words of Nevuah that came through Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth was a direct connection. Thus, when we conclude this week Parashas Maaseh, to a very large degree, we're finishing the Torah. We're finishing the Torah. It's called Torah Moshe. The Torah was given, brought down to us min Hashamayim by Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe in a class by himself, and this is where it ends. Chumash Devarim? It's a chazara. Moshe reviews, Kol HaTorah Kulo, Moshe gives Musar, Moshe says things on his own, with Ruach HaKodesh, with Nevuah, but it's not anymore Moshe Midin, the Av HaNeviyim. It's Moshe Midin Navi. So to a very large degree, the last, it's like this end of this Bamidbar, it's a very important moment. We're concluding an essential chelik of the Torah. Therefore, it's interesting, you know, there's a lot to be said about the last. People always want to know, someone, Rachmana Lislam, dies, what was the last thing he said? What was the last thing he did? What happened at the very, very end? People are obsessed. Why? I don't know. Is there something to it? Maybe yeah, maybe not. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, certainly there is significance. And the last thing that Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to Klal Yisrael as the Av HaNeviim is the mitzvah of Nidarim. The rules of Nidarim. A man, a woman, a wife, or a daughter makes a neder, or for that matter, anyone makes a neder. Can these Nidarim be annulled? Can they be cancelled? Hatoras Nidarim, Hafaras Nidarim, or better, Kol Hayoitze Mi Piv Yaaseh. Keep your vows. You make a vow, you have an obligation to keep what you say. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's very last command. Therefore, when you come to the very, very end, it automatically awakens you to go back to the beginning, to connect the end to the beginning, to see is there a relationship? And indeed there is. Because let's understand, what is the very beginning, the creation of man, all about? How does the Torah describe the creation of man? Hashem takes earth and water, and Hashem kneads them together to create a mold, a body. And then the pasuk says, Vayipach be'apov nishmas chayim. Hashem blows the life of breath into the nostrils of man. And then the pasuk says, what happened? Vayehi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. Man came to life. Targum unkelus. Basic translation. What does it mean, lenefesh chaya? Leruach mimalala. A creature that speaks. A creature that communicates. Unkelus tells us that the essence of life is the ability to communicate in an intelligent way. The koyach hadibur. The nefesh chaya. Okay, very good. This is the creation of man. Man has the koyach hadibur. As time goes on, man learns 70 languages. 70 languages of communication. Man communicates with one another. The world is accomplished. The world is built only through communication. Migdal Bavel is such an incredible example. When they were able to communicate, they were able to do something which is beyond our understanding, to build a tower, Chazal say, that would make NASA look like a kindergarten. Okay, they had some koyach, some technology, some ideas to build things. To who knows what they were going to build? Sounds like from Chazal, they had understanding and knowledge of science, understanding that it's beyond us, provided that they can communicate with one another. And once the communication was ruined, was destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shut down their Wi-Fi, he shut down their internet connection, their cell phones were no longer working, that's it was over. The whole Migdal Bavel, they could no longer communicate, Hashem was Bal Ales L'Shainam, the structure, creation, the ability to build, to be a boine, to be a builder, to create, God. So we see, get a taste of how far it goes, communication. You know, all these stories where they try to send out things out of space to see if there's life on other planets. The biggest problem is, how will we communicate? This is the issue. If we'll find life somewhere else, how are you going to communicate with them? What's the language? What's the universal language? Communication is key. It's the essential thing to create, to build in this world. We now come to the end of the Torah. The last lesson is, that's not what it's about. There's a lot more in the power of Dibur than just the ability to communicate with one another, to build things on this world. The koyach of Dibur is a koyach, is a spiritual power. G'chol hayoytze mipiv ya'aseh. A word is a word. If you say something, you commit yourself with your dibur. That is who you are. You have an obligation to be true to your word. A man makes a neder, he's going to do something. You better do it. There's no way out. This is what the koich hadibur is. A person sanctifies something, it's sacred. The koich hadibur is not just a tool to communicate, to accomplish. It creates, it's a power that man has, but on a spiritual level, on a moral level, the koich hadibur comes with obligations. It elevates the dignity of man and the requirements of man has towards his creator. Like in the Haggadah, what do we say in the Haggadah? Rasha mahu oimer, what he says. Chacham mahu oimer. Tam mahu oimer. She'eino yodea lishol mahu, what he doesn't say. What he doesn't say. Oimer. What he doesn't say. So what does that mean? That's a takakasha. Whatever. That's the end of the Torah. There's a connection. Hopefully we've matured from Bereishis to the end of Amidbar. In Bereishis, Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya l'ruach mimalila. The end of the Torah, he's not just a speaking creature. Hopefully, after studying the entire Torah, going through the whole history of the world, reaching this point where you're sitting by Arvas Mov, hopefully, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's being Messiah in the Torah, is saying, hopefully you've matured. It's not just a Ruach Memalala, but you've reached the Madrega, Kichol Asher Yetzei Mipiv Ya'aseh. That's what it says here. Whatever comes out of your mouth, you're bound to accomplish, you're bound to do. This is the end of the Torah, the beginning of the Torah, the end of the Torah. This is the last mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu is presenting to Klal Yisrael. It's a powerful connection, taking us back to the very beginning of the Torah.
What does it mean?
Right, that's part of the same idea. Same idea we just said. Okay. Now let's go further. Another small point. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's last mitzvah. So you would think that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's giving them the last mitzvah, as they did in the Av HaNeviim, he's really saying goodbye, and he did the Av HaNeviim, he should say to Klal Yisrael, you know, don't you think I deserve some credit? Where's my gift? Don't you think, you know, everyone should stand up, a round of applause for my hard work? It's Torah Moshe. No, don't you think I'm a great guy? You know, I want some respect here. Wouldn't it be appropriate? What's the first? Rabbi said, please, Mr. Axelrod, please. I can't compete. Okay, please. Moshe deserves some respect at the end of the Torah, and yet this parasha is unique. It's the only mitzvah where Moshe Rabbeinu gives Klal Yisrael no vaydaber Hashem el Moshe leimor daber el bnei Yisrael v'chulu v'chulu. Here, Vaidaber Moshe, in the very last mitzvah, he gives it to them, El Roshei Hamatos. He doesn't just give it to Klal Yisrael, he gives it Roshei Hamatos, Livnei Yisrael also. Rashi, what's going on? Why the change of nuance? Why is it it's the last? Rashi says, Cholak Kovoid Lanesiyim. Moshe here, instead of taking for himself in his goodbye speech, in his farewell, as the Av HaNeviim, taking kavod for himself that he so rightfully deserves, putting up with us for all these years and all the trouble, he gives kavod. He gives kavod. Cholak, my last mitzvah. You know what? I'm going to do it differently. I want to be mechabed in the Nesiyim. I want to be mechabed the Avezin. I want to be mechabed this one. I want to be mechabed that one. Chola kovoid lanesim lelamdam techila. The achar kach lechol bnei Yisrael. Chola kovoid. Why? This is the malchus of Moshe Rabbeinu. When you think, when the time comes, when it's expected, I should get the kovoid. Puntakert. Ezehu mechubot.
Hamechabed.
Those are the malchus of Moshe, the anivos, the humility, the balmidos of Moshe Rabbeinu coming out here in the last mitzvah. He presents the Klal Yisrael. No, talking now. Okay, now let's come to another part. This vart, still controversial, this vart. Okay? Not everyone like this vart, but I think it's really a universal vart. It's just the way you say it, just the way you say the words. I saw a very good kasha, very good kasha with regard to nedarim. When it comes to a wife and a daughter, wife makes a neder. I will never step foot again my whole life in Bloomingdale's. Okay? Bergdorf, I will never go to Bergdorf. I make a neder. Husband comes home, he hears what his wife did. He doesn't have to look for a Pesach. Why did you say it? This, that. He can, on his own, can say, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Garnished. He doesn't need her, he doesn't need an interrogation to ask why, what did you think in mind? Did you know this? Did you know that? Did you know there'll be a sale next week? Had you known there'll be a sale next week when you have Mesach and Neder? Of course not. So therefore, Mutalach. He doesn't need to do that. He can just say immediately, Mutalach. Daughter comes home and says, I make a Neder, I will never go out with this boy again. Does the father need to go make an interrogation?
No.
Why this, that? No. Mutalach. Why? What's the reason? The reason is because Chazal say the reason. Kol ha-noider, al-das ba-la-noider. Kol ha-noider, al-das avi-hi-noideres. When a wife makes a neder, in the back of her mind, she knows, I'm married to a man. He's my husband. He's my spouse. I'm a partner. Whatever I do, it's subject to his approval. So it's conditional. Basically, every single time a wife makes a neder, it's conditional. Every time a child, everybody said, please, every time a child makes a neder, a daughter makes a neder, it's conditional. So here's the question. What happens if a mature adult makes a neder? He says, I will not go to China anymore. I'm in business. I manufacture products in China. Enough of the Chinese. Can't take it anymore. I make a neder. I'm never, ever going to China ever again. What is the halacha? The halacha is you have to keep lo yachal devaray. I didn't go, I really need to go. There's not a new opportunity for me available. Let me go to the Rebbe. Let me go to my Rebbe. I go to my Grois. I say, Rebbe, I made a neder. I'm never going to China. Can you be matter the neder? So Rebbe says, well, we have to see. Let's interrogate you. Did you know this? Did you know that? Had you known this? Would you have done this? They go through the whole Shach Vatari and the Rebbe says, oh, we found the Pesach. Charata, Gewaldik, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. Question. We have been brought up, and don't take me the wrong way, I may say some things that are extreme, but I don't mean what I'm saying, so don't get carried away with me, don't have time to submit. We have been brought up, Baruch Hashem, and this is a very, very, very good thing, a very healthy thing, Chastei Hashem, with, I'm not going to use the words very lightly, very loosely, with Das Torah. We're brought up, we have Rabbanim, we have Rabbeim, we have Gedolei Yisrael, and they issue Piskei halacha, they issue matters of that are not halacha, that are hashkafa, what's proper for an Orthodox Jew to do, and we are their students, we are part of their institutions, part of their flock, we're loyal to them, and that's how it has to be, that's a healthy thing. So why don't we say, the same way when it comes to a daughter, and when it comes to a wife, when they make a neder, their husband and their father do not need to make an interrogation because kol hanoider al das bala kol hanoideres al das bala hinoideres. So why don't we say the same exact thing by a member of Klal Yisrael? I have a rav. I have a rebbe. If I make a neder, I'm loyal to my rebbe. I'm loyal to my rav. Kol hanoider al das harebbe hunoider. And if the Rebbe tells me he doesn't like my decision, he's not pleased with my decision, he can annul it without me, without my... Why don't we say this? Isn't this the hashkafa that we've been taught that we have to follow? We're taught to follow Das Torah. If we're taught to follow Das Torah, we should say the same exact principle. Whatever the Rebbe says, that's what you do. The Rebbe says, go here, you go there. Rebbe says, don't go, you don't go. Das Torah. He has a kedusha that we do not have. We have emunas chachamim. Why don't we say the same principle? And yet the Torah says you don't say it. So what does that teach you? So this is a very difficult question. It really is a very tough, very, very good kasha. It's a very stark kasha. The answer obviously has to be is that there has to be a balance. We have emunas chachamim 100%. But you are still responsible for your actions. Don't wake up at the end of your life and blame all of your problems on your rebbeim. You are ultimately responsible for your actions. The relationship between a chosid and a rebbe, between a talmid and a rebbe, between a balabos and his rav, is not the relationship between a husband and a wife, the relationship between a daughter and her father. There's no question. Emunas chachamim is key. This is the bread and butter of Klal Yisrael. Das Torah is the most important thing. Respect for Gedolei Yisrael and to listen be mekabel. But you have to. It's a different. It's still you learn from this. These psukim. It's all true, but you have to take responsibility. You have to take responsibility for your own actions. Don't. It's not everything is. Call a neder, whatever my rebbe says. You see, that's not so. I made a neder, I come to my rebbe says, but you, my rebbe, whatever you do, I'll tell you to do. No, it's not the way it is. You made a decision, that's your decision. I'll tell you, it's their decision, but it's still your decision. If you have to listen to what I, you should listen to what I say to you, or, okay, that's all, but you should listen, and we should listen, but you have to understand it's not the same type of relationship. And it's a very, very difficult balance. In the Hasidic world, you see the balance is much more not to take responsibility. That's what a Rebbe is. The Rebbe carries the responsibility. It's a little dangerous. It's very good. Where is the balance point? They also don't agree with it. They also agree. Everyone agrees with this principle. I can't imagine. Everyone agrees you have to take responsibility at some point for your actions. You just put a little bit more emphasis on your leaders. In the Litvish world, it's much less. I mean, now it's more. I think now in this generation, certainly back way before, it was definitely less. It was definitely, now it's a big mix. Today we live in a world, agglomeration, a melting pot. Everyone's really a chos, everyone's really a Litvak, it all blends together. And unfortunately, in some societies, the level of balance is way, way too low, which is certainly not a mahalach in life. It's a very, very tough decision. It's very difficult to find the proper balance where emunas chachamim, 100%, to be fully devoted, but yet to recognize your relationship is not of a husband and wife, father and daughter, where you say, kol ha'neidah das, al das balahino deris. But rather, Torah says, here, I don't say that. Here, when you go to the Chacham, good, you went to the Chacham. The Chacham has to find the Heter, has to find the Pesach, or else you're in trouble. Because lo yachel devare. Okay, right, let me tell you at least one important word before you conclude. No. You knew the momentum afterwards. Okay, let's go now to the very end. We end the parasha, we learn about
you.
We learn. Let's go to the end of the parasha of the Masos. We lay in the parasha, beginning of parashas Masos. We go through the 42 Masos, the 42 journeys in the desert. Why is it necessary to review the journey in the desert? The Klal Yisrael, they travel 42 journeys in the desert. What's all of this about? There are many, many different opinions what it's all about. Teaching us. I think Rashi says to tell us the chesed of Hashem. Hashem provided for us 40 years in the most difficult situation, difficult environment, and that we gave us the man. We want to emphasize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provide our needs. There's more of a Kabbalistic approach, is that each of these locations, there was Kedusha to be extracted. Okay. Chazal also say, Chazal also tell us that there is really different. The Abarbanel. Okay, the Abarbanel tells us.
Yes.
Oh, the Abarbanel tells us, Maisa Avay Simin Laban. The reason why there are 42 journeys presented in Parashas Maaseh is to allude that when Klal Yisrael will go into Golus after the Churban Bayis Sheni, there will be 42 steps, 42 different steps in Golos until they reach their destination to rebuild the Bayis Shlishi, to build the Bayis Shlishi and to bring Mashiach. Maisa Ovo Simla Bonim, in hindsight, if we were to know history inside out, we'll be able to look back and realize when Mashiach comes, to look back at Jewish history and divide Jewish history into 42 steps, stages, and you can see exactly everything that happened in these locations based upon the Midrash and Psukim is foreshadowing what would happen in these 42 matzav, 42 tekufas, stages, periods in Jewish history. Maisa is a blueprint. Study this, try to figure out where we're holding today. Which mass are we holding today? Who knows? Take the 42 masses. Tell me when we were in Germany, when the Jews were in Spain, when they were in Poland. The main. It's always on the move. Klal Yisrael, the center of attention, the center of power, of influence in Klal Yisrael throughout the ages was always on the move. There were times when the most influential Jews were living in Poland. There were times when they were in Germany. There were times when they were in France. There were times when they were in Egypt. There were times when they were in Spain. Now, maybe there was a time when they were in America. That's very possible until recently. I think today no more. I feel that today the influence has returned to Eretz Yisrael. I would say maybe 30 years ago, I think then still you could possibly say that America was a major Yadus. Orthodox Jew in America was the driving force in the world. Is that true today? I don't think so. I think today it's returned to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my impression. Years ago, after the war, certainly. After the war, the early years after World War II, after the Holocaust, sure, the influential Gedolim who were the driving force, you can argue. Maybe I'm wrong also there, but I think
and very insignificant.
In the Eretz Yisrael, there were Gedolim, the Chazon Ish, there were many Gedolim Eretz Yisrael. But where is the driving force? Who do we have to reckon with? You can't describe Orthodox Jew without reckoning with a certain group. Today in Eretz Yisrael, you get the impression they don't reckon with us anymore. They don't need us anymore. They make the decisions. They don't need America anymore. They're already comfortable. They're already developed to a degree. Am I right or wrong? It's irrelevant. Yeah.
The time frame of the travel. Short,
right, there were some long tours, right. Okay, right, correct. Okay, all right, whatever. All right, this is a very beautiful, this is from the Abarbanel. It's not only Abarbanel, others say this. Now, when I saw this new, I'm telling you, everyone knows Namor, I'm just telling you, I'm repeating what I saw inside a Sefer, which I don't remember the name of the Sefer, but he quotes the Baal Shem Tov. Okay, how often do I tell you a reference to the Baal Shem Tov? Okay, the Baal Shem Tov says, the 42 Masois are not just like the Barbanel, Ma'isav Asim Labanim. It's every person's life. A person, when he comes into this world, from the time he comes into this world until he leaves this world, Achameh Ve'esrim, goes through 42 stages. He goes through 42 tekufas in his life. And each tekufa is its own challenge. Each tekufa, you're presented with different issues, different challenges. Just like when Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar for 42 masais, each masa, each encampment was unique. It was different weather conditions, different situations, different neighbors, different matzavim. It was a challenge. In a person's life, you go through 42 matzavim. And this sefer, this is not my style, but it's really good, so I'll tell you anyway. I went to Gematrius. He says, what is Masai? What is the Gematria of the word Masai? Ela Masai. 180. What's the significance of 180? 10 times Chai. Now, what does it mean, 10 times Chai? So without this point, I'm going to tell you now, it doesn't have any meaning. Why do we call life Chai, Chayim? Why is it in the plural? Every person only has one life. You're a chai. Either you're a chai, you're a living creature, or Rachmana Litzlan, you're not. What's chayim? Chayim is b'loshan rabim. The answer is, a person's life is not just one moment of life. It's a collection of many different lives. Every tekufa in your life is a new, you can't compare. When you're a child, there was one tekufa. You're a teenager, there's another tekufa. You get a little older, another. You get married, this tekufa. Grandfather, this tekufa. A great-grandfather. Retirement, this tekufa. There are many different elements in a person's life which are completely unique. You can't even compare the experience, the challenge, the pleasure, or the displeasure of one tekufa to another tekufa. In the big picture, when you collect your whole life together, that's called chayin. It's chayin. Likewise, the number 10 is always a number which represents shleimus. 10. Avraham had 10 nisyonos. Hashem made the world in 10 amiros, 10 mamoros. There are 10 dibros. 10 is also a number of shleimus. Chay, multiplied by 10, is 180. Okay, chai, 18 times 10 is 180. Mas'ei, the journeys, it represents the totality of life, the shleimus of life. Baal Shem Tov says, the mas'ois, the lesson of the mas'ois is, you go through life, each tekufa presents its own challenge. It's unique. And it's all part of the big picture of reaching the ultimate destination through taking and drawing from each one of the experiences to create a unique blend, a unique match. And point out, only thing I want to, only Hosaf I want to add to this very beautiful part, you don't need me for this, but just one thing that also touches me very much is, the Minhag Yisrael is, in most places, I can't say everywhere, is you lane the Masois with the same Nigun that you lane the Shira Sayan. You sing it. This, what's the nigun? What's the new nigun? It's the same nigun as the nigun by not everyone. Most kilos. There are some places they have a different nigun, and the issue is bring the psukin called psukut lepasak Moshe Rabbeinu. There's a whole Torah on this, but right. But basically, from the ruba the Klal Yisrael, they lay in the masayis the same exact nigun as Shiras Yam. What's that about? That means when you're living the masayis, you're drawing from Kriyas Yamsuf. Teretz, very simple. Kriyas Yamsuf was a miracle. It was Lamala Miderech HaTeva. To escape Egypt, the Egyptians were drowned, the Yam split. This was the Spitz. This was the creation of Klal Yisrael. This is Lamala Miderech HaTeva. Our lives are very ordinary. There's no Lamala Miderech HaTeva for the average person. Person goes through life, you try to get through the best that you can. The Baal Shem Tov tells us when you go through life, it's really, your life is really merumis, it's really rooted in the Masois of Klal Yisrael, the 42 Masois. You go through 42 stages. The truth is, going through the 42 stages of life is a nes. We all look back, you know, we all look back at our past, and if you really analyze it under a microscope, you say to yourself, how in the world did I survive? How did I have enough money? How did I have enough strength to get through this, to get through that? How could it be that I'm still here after all these years? Al derech hateva doesn't make sense. Every person can say that. You've gotten to places, you've received things, you have benefit, you have pleasure, things that you never ever imagined in the world were possible. Every person, Baruch Hashem, to some degree, one way or another, you see things you never expected. It's a nes. Chadesh v'tuva b'chol yom tamid. It's nothing less than Kriyas Yamsuf. We don't realize it, but it is. We lay in the masois, which is merames in a person's life, the tekufas of going from one stage to the other and surviving with the same exact nigun that we sing when we give Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the ultimate moifes l'maylo miderech hateva. The yam splits open, the Egyptians come in and drown, throat covers them, spits out their bodies to the Bizas Yamsuf. L'maylo miderech hateva. Do you think that was l'maylo miderech hateva? It's the same l'maylo miderech hateva to survive, to go from one phase of your life to the next phase of your life. It's the same nigun. It's even better, in fact. Because when it comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, when did we sing? When it was all over. It was all over. When we went through the Yam, they weren't singing. Maybe you'll find me a medrash. I don't know. You'll find me a medrash somewhere. But they weren't singing. They went through the Yam. They were plucking off things from the trees to eat. They were taking in the scenery. And then when it was over, oh, wow, what a miracle, they sang Shira. Here, as we're traveling, we've already learned, we've matured, we learned the lessons of the oaths of the Mofsim. As we're traveling, we're able, b'shas maisa, to sing Shira, the Shiras Hayam, as we go through the masois of our own personal life, and Klal Yisrael as well. Not only a person, it's the same Shira, that the fact that Klal Yisrael survived, the miraculous survival of Klal Yisrael through the Doiros, is Kriyas Yamsuf. It's the same exact nigun as Lamala Miderech HaTeva. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Chazak, chazak, minis chazek.